This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. This is
great. March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back. It's Back in Day Radio Show, broadcasting live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. Sparky here, in for Andy Herman. Our guy Tommy Wirtz, he's a star. He's a star, I tell you. Hosting now the leadoff show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, 1 hour before every game tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. to noon. Check out Tommy Wirtz, and that follows Wisconsin Sports Weekend with Jack Pembroke and Charlie Usen from 9 to 11. So you want to check all that out. 3 hours of consecutive local programming here on The Fan from 9 until noon tomorrow. This guy, he used to be on The Fan all the time himself. Now a part of BetMGM tonight. He, of course, is Ryan Horvat. Follow him on Twitter at Ryan Horvat. It's been too long, Ryan Horvat. How are you?
It's been way too long, Sparky. I will much better, dude, to be honest with you, in like 2 weeks when I no longer have to talk basketball and we could focus on the thing that I love the most, especially this year with it being at Lambeau Field, the NFL draft. Now, don't get me wrong. I love March Madness, man. But I got to be honest with you. College basketball, I used to be in it. I used to know everybody's name, every coach, even the mid-major teams. It's just so hard to keep up. And I know you could say the same thing about college football, but I'll never give up my baby. I love college football more than anything other than my wife and child. So I'm fine following the transfer portal, but I feel like you got to pick a sport, man. It's so hard to do it with everything. And, you know, even I'm watching the tournament, and I'm like, wait a minute. What am I watching this kid at this school last year? When did he go here? So I'm really excited for the draft. I will say, though, that Arkansas finish last night was pretty cool.
Yeah, overtime, the whole deal. And it was a lot of fun to watch that at the end, if you're still into it. I think a lot of people around here, once Wisconsin and Marquette left the tournament last weekend, as tradition goes usually around here, and then, you know, if your bracket gets blown up like mine was picking St. John's, you probably check out on a majority of it, and you do focus more on the Brewers starting their season yesterday against the Yankees, and then the NFL draft has been the talk here for the last month or so as well.
Coming up on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis, they do Where Are They Now? Former Packer center Corey Linsley joins the show this morning at 10:20. And staying on that topic, there has been conversation here locally about the possibility of maybe the Packers go offensive tackle here in the first round of the draft. And go offensive lineman for the second year in a row because Rashid Walker in the last year of his deal. Zach Tom's going to have to get paid here in the next calendar year or so. You have Elgton Jenkins moving to center with 2 years left on his deal. He turns age 30 this year. We know how good he thinks about people of 30 and older in the National Football League. And then, of course, you sign Banks to be one guard. And if Jordan Morgan is going to be the other guard, you're going to need a tackle to play the left side. Would you bet the Packers take an offensive lineman in the first round?
I actually bet them to take a corner. I could obviously be wrong. I'm just looking at the depth chart, and, you know, if Jair Alexander is gone, who do you trust? I like Nate Hobbs, man, but he's more of a slot, a nickel corner.
Who do you trust? What do you mean? Keyshawn Nixon, at the end of the season, said he don't want to return kicks anymore. He's a CB1, is what Keyshawn Nixon said.
Yeah, but the problem for Keyshawn Nixon, Spark, is, like, you know, and there's some good tape on him, too, but, like, I don't really want him to be the lockdown corner in a division that features Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, all these other wide receivers, Jordan Madison, all these guys that torch us in every divisional game. I used to not worry about the NFC North. Last year, though, one win. This year, I got bad news, man. I think the division got better. I know nobody wants to hear it. Maybe it's not this year for the Bears. But we can't deny what they
this
did
again.
This offseason.
You and your Bears love. Every year, you and your Bears love telling me, oh, this is the year, Spark. Here come the Bears. Every year I hear this from you, Horvath. Every year.
Well, this year, though, I'm a little afraid, man. Like, you know, Justin Fields, I liked the kid and I was cheering for him. But Caleb Williams is good. And now he's got Ben Johnson, who's not going to let him run around like a chicken with his head cut off. It's going to be more Caleb Williams under center. More the stuff that he's really good at, which is what scares me, man, because there's a lot that he's really, really good at, especially, like, you know, the play action, rollout, drop back stuff. So that's what concerns me. And we'll see what they do in the draft. And if it's not the Bears, you know, the Lions, let's say they don't skip a beat. I think they do, though. They lose both coordinators. Let's find out how smart and how good Dan Campbell is, right? Like, now that he's the brains behind the operation. Let's see how good Jared Goff is without the human cheat code, Ben Johnson. Or if it's not those two teams, maybe J.J. McCarthy is good. Right? Like, I don't know. I didn't necessarily love him. I watched him in high school. I liked him at Michigan, but he didn't have to do a whole lot because the defense only gave up 9 points per game. I'm more concerned about the skill position players. That's why I wouldn't hate going tackle, don't get me wrong, because I do think that there's really good value in the second, third round with these defensive backs. And again, like, you know, kind of like, okay, so I've been defending the Giants. Like, okay, yeah, you're not going to win many games with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, most likely, but there's not really a quarterback that I love in this draft. You know, I don't really love Shador, so you might as well just continue to build a team and get your quarterback next year. Like, so I'm not going to get angry at them. They should have taken a quarterback last year, Michael Penix Jr. or J.J. McCarthy, right? Like, that's where I'm at with Green Bay. If they don't go DB, which I think that they should, I'm not going to be angry. I was angry last year because I wanted Cooper DeJean, and they passed on him. And then up until the third quarter of the Super Bowl, I thought he was going to win MVP, and he's only 21 years old. I would have traded up and tried to get Quinyon Mitchell. This year, there's not one of those guys, in my opinion, you know, but there are a bunch of guys that I do like that you could probably get in the second, third round. So I'm fine going tackle because, let's be honest, man, and I know I joked after the playoff loss, Jordan Love could be a very good quarterback, an MVP-caliber quarterback, if you protect him, like any other quarterback in this league. So if they're unsure about the offensive line, I think you have to go tackle. It just annoys me, right? Like spending a first-round pick on a guard and then going out and spending money on a guard so you can move your best guard to center. Like, fix this offensive line, man. Way too many draft assets, in my opinion, the last couple of years. We got to build up this defense.
But, Ryan, this is the thing.
Corner.
Okay, but hold on a second. This is my thing. You tell me if you think I'm going to be wrong on this or not. We'll see. And I was talking, we had Donald Driver on Wisconsin Sports Daily yesterday, and I was selling this point to him as well when he was on, which is I think they changed their mind of how they're going to run this team last year. I think they bought into how good Josh Jacobs is and that they can be a run ball, you know, running the football first type offense, play act, even though they did not play act nearly as much as they should have last year, but more of a play action pass, big shot type offense with Jordan Love, but rely more on
the running back, more so than they did in Love's first year when they were letting him wing it all over the place 35, 40 times a game. Now maybe he's only going to get 20 to 25 throws a game. And if that's going to be the case, then you need more of a power offensive line. I was reading on Banks when they got him. A writer in San Francisco said that outside zone in San Francisco was not meant for him. It didn't play to his strengths. And inside zone is probably what he's better suited for. And that's what the Green Bay Packers are. So if you're going to change your offensive line from being a finesse offensive line to being more of a mauling offensive line like the Eagles, then you do have to start figuring out what that's going to look like.
No, I agree. And that's how I want them to build this team, right? If I'm Brian Gutekunst, you know, and I'm building this team, especially playing games at Lambeau Field, cold weather games, let's make that a real thing. So what I want to do is I want to build a physical, tough defense, kind of like Baltimore does every single year, right? I want corners that are shut down, locked down. We're not playing 5 yards off the ball type corners that are going to get in your face and they're going to play that jam press man coverage. I want a defensive line that could actually create pressure, right? I see everybody doing it again. I see the Van Ness pictures. He's got his shirt off. He's got a 9-pack. He's flexing. That's awesome. If we're talking powerlifting competition at Rudy's gym, I'm talking about, does that translate on the football field, right? We did this with A.J. Dillon. I didn't want to see his calves and his lats. I wanted to see him, you know, carry two defenders to the end zone and average 5 yards per carry. It never happened. All these draft picks have to work out. So I agree, but on the other end, like, the run game wasn't the issue, right? Josh Jacobs had a career year last year. So that's why I want to build up the defense a little bit, and I don't trust these corners, again, in the division where you're going to see some really good wide receivers and, I think, better quarterback play here in the next couple of years. So, again, I'm fine. I think this team has many needs. I got to be honest with you. I wish there was another Tet McMillan that Green Bay could draft. And, you know, I haven't been the wide receiver in the first round guy the last couple of years. There's not that guy. There's no
Horvath.
More neighbors.
Let me ask you this.
I still don't know.
Let me ask you this, Ryan. We're talking with Ryan Horvath, BetMGM tonight. Follow him on Twitter, Ryan Horvath. You're listening to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, Sparky, and for Andy Herman here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Can you bet on a team to trade up? So could I make a bet that the Packers will trade up in the first round from 23? Is that a thing?
No, unfortunately not. All you could bet is, you know, like Ashton Jeanty, which team.
Right.
Tet McMillan, which team. You know, and then position that team will draft first. And for Green Bay, position that they'll draft first, the favorite right now, like plus 135, is for them, you're right, to take an offensive lineman. Second best odds at like plus 195, defensive back. So I think it's one of the two.
Well, I'm just saying
that, with your two picks.
I'm just saying that because Goody was the only GM at the McMillan workout. He was the only guy there, the only GM.
Yeah, I mean, I like him a lot. I know that it was kind of a down year last year, but also, like, they lost their head coach, they lost their OC, and I just thought Noah Fifita wasn't very good, the starting quarterback there. I love him, and I think that's what you need. You need a guy that could go up and get it. I like Dobbs as a two. When is Watson, you know, they got to stop saying we, but you know I'm a we guy. They have to stop relying on Christian Watson. When he's on the field, awesome. It's a luxury. They can't plan on that being a thing. Like Wicks, all these guys are good threes, fours. You know what I mean? They need still a number one receiver. I didn't really want it to be Devontae Adams at 32 years old. I would have rather just paid him 3 years ago, 4 years ago. But man, like, I would have loved, like, you know, last year, Kelvin Ridley, right? And that's why the last couple drafts, or even the Justin Jefferson-type drafts, I was pounding the table, like, go and get that guy, because they're not there every year. I like some of these guys, like a Luther Burden, but there's no Devontae Adams in this year's draft, other than Travis Hunter, who you're not going to be able to get your hands on. So I think you're probably right, they go tackle, or I think I'm right and they go DB. I think those are the first two picks of the draft. I would love to see Green Bay move up. You really think, though, for the first time ever, they're going to move up and not move back in this draft?
Well, I don't know if that's going to happen, but what better place to do it than in front of your fans in Green Bay, Wisconsin? Probably with the only time you're ever going to have the NFL draft, that they announce that the Packers move up from 23 to 15 or 12 or something, and then take a wide receiver in the first round, which they never do. I mean, think about that. They make a huge leap in the first round. They never do. Then they take a wide receiver in the first round. They never do. And the draft will never be in Green Bay again after this. I mean, you want to talk about the absolute perfect PR storm for the Green Bay Packers. That would be it.
It would. Let me ask you a question. How attached to Tucker Kraft and Musgrave and these guys are you?
To me, Musgrave, yeah. Not as much. I thought he was going to be better than he is, but he can't stay healthy and so forth. Why can't they use Tucker Kraft like Travis Kelce or some of the other great tight ends? If you're not going to go get a premium number one wide receiver and spend a boatload of money, why can't that be your guy that you target 8 to 10 times a game?
Dude, because here's what I'm saying, right? People would not hate this, I don't think. So Tyler Warren, most likely not going to be available.
Correct.
But he's a stud. If you watched him at Penn State, he plays quarterback.
Everybody's got him going to the Colts, I think, in the mock drafts.
I love him, but there's a guy that I like almost as much. Colston Loveland out of Michigan.
Yep.
And he's labeled as a tight end, but he's a better version of Mike Gesicki. He runs routes like a wide receiver. I'm kind of obsessed with him. He's not the best blocker. Jordan Love, that would be a cheat code for Jordan Love in the middle of the field. And like I said, his route tree is so much different than any other tight end that I've seen the last couple of years. I think he is going to be a Hall of Famer. I never say this. Him and Tyler Warren, man. I said the same about Bowers last year, and look how good he was as a rookie. Imagine having a weapon like that. You know, like, if you can't go out and get your Malik Nabers because he's not there this year, I wouldn't hate a Colston Loveland as a weapon. But again, I know there's bigger needs, right? Tackle and defensive back. I would love another pass rusher. I would even love another interior defensive lineman.
Yes, that's what they need. Like, they need a big, fat guy to play in the middle. Yes, a big, fat guy to play in the middle. Yes, that's what they need, yes.
Yeah, like, we watched, how did the Eagles win that Super Bowl? Everybody's going to say it was because of Saquon and Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and the flashy Madden weapons. They won that Super Bowl, man, because they pressured Patrick Mahomes 26 times. Because Nolan Smith and, you know, Carter, all those kids that they hit on from Georgia are all studs right away, right? And Quinion and Cooper DeJean, they won because they got pressure on the quarterback and they forced turnovers. A couple of years ago, how did Tampa Bay beat Green Bay? And how did they beat Pat Mahomes? They beat Green Bay. Everybody's going to say Rodgers choked. Well, he didn't. He threw for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns, but he got sacked 5 or 6 times. And then remember what they did to Mahomes in that Super Bowl? That's how you win Super Bowls, man. I know it's cliche, but build that defense up. Green Bay needs to be getting pressure on these good quarterbacks in the playoffs. If you let Brock Purdy and Jared Goff and these guys sit in the pocket, they kill you. But these guys are total pumpkins when you get pressure.
Ryan.
So I wouldn't even hate them going edge rusher, defensive tackle. I want a mean defense, man. Or one of these guys has to pan out this year, right? Van Ness. Rashawn Gary is a really good player, but for what he's getting paid, I would love for him to get after the quarterback more. Run defense, run stop, he's top 5, maybe the best in the league. But he's just not really an elite pass rusher, and when you're paying $100 million to an edge, they kind of have to be. So they got to figure that side of the ball out, man.
Ryan, did you fall and hit your head? You want them to build a defense. He's been trying to draft defense for like a decade at this point. He's trying. He's not very good at it. I think we've all learned that, haven't we?
Well, yeah, but that's the thing, man. So now who's left? Like, Stokes, gone, failed experiment.
Right.
Jair doesn't want to be there.
Correct.
Right? And so it's like, I cannot go into a season with Keyshawn Nixon as my lockdown corner. I mean, right? Like, look at Denver. Denver made the playoffs, and people are like, Bo Nix. No, Sertan. He's all over the field. I mean, Quinion Mitchell is a rookie. I know I keep bringing him up, but I love him. Like,
so
you know,
I.
You need a secondary, and you need a pass rush. And I get that. That's why I haven't loved these picks. You know, Quay, I'm not going to crush the Quay pick because the athletic ability was there. But some of these guys, these projects, even Rashawn Gary, I liked him at Michigan. But I didn't even know what he was until he got to Green Bay year 3. Van Ness, he was like not on the field a whole lot at Iowa. When he was making plays, but I just wanted to see more, to be honest with you. I thought that's more like a day 2, day 3
yep.
type pick. Hopefully he breaks out this season, but I'm with you, and that's where the evaluation has to get better. I don't want to come on here and just rip goo because everybody knows how I feel about, you know, I mean, and he does hit on a lot of these guys. He has his guys, but I just feel like the for-sure things are always there, and Green Bay never takes them. You know, Cooper DeJean was always a for-sure thing. Quinion was never there, but, you know, some of these guys that they pass on, T. Higgins, I know people don't want me to bring him up anymore, but you got to take a shot with these guys because the tape's there, and they're all studs. They're all pros. They're all making $100 million. We got to get these guys, not the Van Nesses of the world.
He is Ryan Horvath, BetMGM tonight, weeknights on the BetMGM radio network. And, of course, follow him on Twitter at Ryan Horvath. Ryan, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I'll be listening to the Brewers postgame coverage, by the way.
Pre.
Yesterday, opening day.
Pre.
I'm such a nerd. I listen to pre. You know me. Pre, post, it's all the same to me, baby. I'll be listening, though.
Okay, see you later. There he is. Ryan Horvat. That's right. Game two of 162 tomorrow. Korea looking for a rebound for a win. Will the offense be better? Find out that and more on the Leadoff Show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook tomorrow morning. Tommy Wirtz here with you, starting at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning on 1250 a.m. at 105.7 FM. The Fan, of course, before that, Wisconsin Sports Weekend with Charlie Usen and Jack Pembroke. Coming up next, we didn't get into it with Ryan Horvath either. I'm doing a horrible job at hosting this show. I've teased something now for, 40 minutes. Still haven't talked about it. The Tush Push might get banned? That might actually be a thing. The Packers weren't fools after all. We'll discuss that next here on the Pack a Day Radio Show as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky in for Andy Herman.